Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 16 lines from the top. This is a little less than halfway down. You'll notice the first word on the line is Dvarov. In the middle of the line, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Pamachas holach Rabbi le Diuspora. Diuspora is the name of a place. So once Rabbi went to this place, Diuspora, v'hoira b'menoira ke Rabbi Shimon b'neir. Now this expression is a bit vague. The Gemara now analyzes. Ibaya leho. Hoira b'menoira ke Rabbi Shimon b'neir lehetera. Is it so that Rabbi issued one ruling, and that is that just like a nair, an oil lamp, according to Rabbi Shimon, is something that once it goes out, you can move it on Shabbos, so too a menorah, a candelabra, can be moved on Shabbos. So it's one ruling concerning a candelabra. Oy Dilma, or possibly Rabbi issued two separate rulings. Hoira b'menora l'isura. One ruling is that he ruled that a candelabra is forbidden to move around. Ukerabbi Shimon b'ner l'hetera. And he ruled like Rabbi Shimon with regard to a small oil lamp as being mutter to move around. Teku. This remains unresolved. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a series of visitations, we'll say, and they are highlighted with a trapezoid shape. And as we say, they all have in common, and we've noted on the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the trapezoid shape is featured, and we noted Sidra Shel Bikurei Rabbonim. Bikurei is Ikla in the Gemara, they visited. Saviv Inyon Tiltuner. And they all have this issue in common, the issue of moving oil lamps. So the series continues, as you can see, down the Omid, you have a number of these trapezoid shapes. Rav Malchia Ikla Lebei Rabbi Simloi. Rav Malchia visited Rav Simloi's house. The Tiltel Shraga, the Ikbid Rav Simloi. He moved an oil lamp, and Rav Simloi issued an objection, was upset with that. Rav Yossi Glilo'o, Ikla Liasre de Rav Yossi Ravichnina. Rav Yossi visited the town of Rav Yossi. Tiltel Shraga Veikpid Rav Yossi Ravichnina. He moved an oil lamp after it had gone out, and Rav Yossi was upset. Rav Yavo, Ki Ikla Liasre de Rav Shua ben Levi, Hafimitalta Shraga. Rav Yavo, when he visited the town of Rav Shua ben Levi, he would move oil lamps. Ki ikla l'astrei to Rabbi Yochanan lo have him etal teshroga. And when he visited Rabbi Yochanan's town, so he didn't move the oil lamps. The Gemara asks, what kind of behavior is this? Manav shoch. Either way, e karebi Yehuda svirale. If Rabbi Avo holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds of muktza, so levit karebi Yehuda, he should all the time behave like Rabbi Yehuda. Even when he visited Rabbi Shua ben Levi's town, he shouldn't have moved it. Iker Rabbi Shimon Svirulei, if he holds like Rabbi Shimon that doesn't hold for Muktzah, then Levid Karebi Shimon, then he should have practiced like Rabbi Shimon, even when he visited Rabbi Yochanan's town. The Olam Karebi Shimon Svirulei. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Avo holds like Rabbi Shimon. Umishim Kvodo de Rabbi Yochanan lo have ovid. And in honor, to honor Rabbi Yochanan, who holds like Rabbi Yehuda with the muktzah restriction, so he refrained from what his own personal practice would be. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. shruga, an oil lamp, demashcha shorei lututuli. If it's fueled by oil, it's reasonable to assume that the common oil was olive oil. So that kind of lamp, one would be allowed to move around. The nefta osur lututula. However, if it's fueled by this other kind of fuel that's called neft, neft is something that has a very bad odor to it. And Rashi says, "Avol on divor masal avol nefta demasruch." It's disgusting. Afilu Rabbi Shimon moide de lo chazi elolim lachto. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree that it's also to move it around because it's not fit for anything other than lighting. So, being that it has no other use other than lighting, so it's not to be moved around on Shabbos. Rav of Rav Yosef, Dami Chavayu, both Rav Rav Yosef say, the nefto nami shori l'tutula. Even a neft-fueled oil lamp, or candle, would be allowed to be moved. Rav Avya, Rav Avya Ikla Lebei Rava. We should note that this incident lasts a number of lines, hence we used a long marking. You can see the word Maisa appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where we've written the word in and circled it, and with a descending vertical dashed line. And as we indicated, it goes till the upper part of Amud Beis. So Rav Avya visited Rava. Have me'ison be'kari v'tina, and Rav Avya's feet were muddy. Hasivi apuya kame the Rava, and he reclined on a bed with his dirty feet in front of Rava. Ikbid Rava. Rava was upset. Hey, you're messing up my bed. Ba litzure, and Rava wanted to wanted to get back at him, wanted to mitsire him, and Rashi says b'she'elos. He saw how offhandedly Rav Avya was treating his furnishings, so he says he's going to give him a little feeling of pain through questions. Omale, so he asks, Rava asks, my time off, Rabba, Rav Yosef and Chavaya Shrago de Nefta Nami Shor de Tutule, why in the world does Rabba and Rav Yosef say that a neft-fueled lamp would be mutter, would be allowed to be moved on Shabbos? Omale, it is useful. You can take this lamp, this neft lamp, and cover something with it, cover a vessel with it. In other words, if you have a bowl containing something and you want to cover it, so you can put this lamp, though it happens to be fueled by neft, and it might be something that has a bad smell to it, but it can use it for covering something. Elomeyato, so Rava asks, if that be the case, kol srush bechotzer metatlin hoyo v'chazi lichsiyei behumona, then there's no end to this, and all tsurus, all rocks and pebbles that are lying around in a courtyard, one should be allowed to move around, because you can always use a rock or a stone for covering something. In other words, if you have a bottle and you don't want something to get into the bottle, take a rock and put it over as a bottle stopper. And no one acknowledges that. No one would allow the random moving of rocks because of their potential for being a bottle stopper. Amale, Rav Avya says, but still, there is a difference between the Shraga de Nefta, this neft-fueled oil lamp, and rocks. Ha Ika Teras Kli Ale. The Shraga de Nefta is defined as being a vessel. It might be a disgusting vessel, but nevertheless, it's a vessel, and as such, it's something that is fit to be moved. Ha, the tsruros leko taras kli ole, they don't have a definition of being a vessel. Mi lo tanya, have we not learned? We have a source that will bring out this point, especially in view of what Ula says following it, that the concept of a kli, the fact that something is defined as a kli, has significance in allowing its movement. have we not learned? And here we turn to the top of Amud Beis. Hashirim v'anezomim v'tabois. Sort of different types of jewelry. Harei hein kechol hakelim hanitlin v'chotzer. Now, these different types of jewelry, Rashi points out, based on the Gemara in Perek Bamei Isha Yotza, that a woman is not allowed to wear these out on Shabbos into a public thoroughfare because there's a fear that she might take them off to show her friends and end up walking around with them while not wearing them in the Rishus HaRabim. So these things, even though there is a restriction of wearing them out into the public area, nevertheless, they are considered like kalim, like other vessels that are mutter to be moved around in an enclosed area. The Omar Ula Matam, and Ula explains, why is it? Why would one be allowed to move around this jewelry? Answer, Hoyol v'iko teras kli ole, since they are categorized as kalim, as vessels, as opposed to rocks, which one would not consider a vessel. Hachanami, so too with regard to the Shruga de Nefta, Hoyoviko Toras Kli Ole, since it has a Toras Kli, a rule or a definition of as being a vessel, it's defined as a vessel, it is something that one is allowed to move around. And that would explain Rabbah and Rav Yosef, who said that a Shruga de Nefta is something that is allowed to be moved on Shabbos because it's defined as a vessel. So at this point in the give and take between Rava and Rav Avia, you see that Rav Avia was successful in defending his position. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Brich Rachmona, Rav Nachman says, blessed be the Almighty, delo kesifei Rava l'Rav Avia, that Rava was unsuccessful in embarrassing Rav Avia. True that Rav Avia maybe should have cleaned his feet off or removed his shoes before putting them on Rava's bed, but nevertheless, Rava's attempt to get back at him, to metzire him, was unsuccessful. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. You notice on the side of the one, there are a Mivne heading. We've written, Abaye male b'fnei Rabo, v'yachakach b'fnei Rav Yosef, b'shitas Rabbi Shimon, b'inyan muktza, stiros. Abaye is male, he raises stiros in or say questions or stiros. Stiros are the word rummy literally is a represents a contradiction, and we will see these questions as the Gemara unfolds. We have number one over here, and the lower part of the page in the fourth wide line, you can see a bow tie shape with a number two. The Gemara, Rami le Abaye le Rabba. Tanya, we have Abaye raises this problem to Rabba. Tanya, we have a source that says, Moiser Hashemen Shebenei Meshebekorah, also Rabbi Shimon Matir. Oil that's left over after a candle goes out, the oil that's left in the Nair, or the Kor, or the bowl, is Osir. And Rabbi Shimon allows the use of that oil. Alma, the Rabbi Shimon les le Muksa. From here you see the Rabbi Shimon disavows or denies mukta as a problem. The Rominu. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the topic of a firstborn kosher variety animal. A firstborn kosher variety animal is something that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was given to a Kohen who would then bring it as a sacrifice. It cannot be slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash unless it develops a blemish. So the source says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol she'ein mumo nikur merav yom tov, ein ze min amuchan. Any b'chor whose blemish was not visible from before Yom Tov, even though a blemish may have developed on Yom Tov, nevertheless it wasn't obvious, it wasn't visible, it's not min amuchan, it's not something that can be slaughtered for personal consumption on Yom Tov. Obviously, once it has a mum, it's not brought as a sacrifice anymore. It would be available for personal consumption. But here, since it wasn't visible Erev Yom Tov, even though slaughtering is allowed on Yom Tov, but not this. What do we see from here? Since it wasn't available from the onset of Yom Tov, it is forbidden. And here it's Rabbi Shimon. That's a classic example of muktzah. The Gemara response. Hochi hashta. This answer lasts a number of lines, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking. Hochi hashta. How can you compare the Moser Hashemen case, the residue oil, to the case of the Bechor? Hasam Adam Yoshiva Mitzap Emosaitich Benero. In the case of the oil lamp, a person anticipates. He literally sits and looks forward. He sits and waits. He knows it's going to go out, and in the event that there's residue oil, he intends to use it. So his mind is on it. Hacha, in the case of a firstborn, Hacha, Adam Yoshev Mitzap Emosai Yipo Bo Mum. Does a person sit and wait for a mum to develop? And here we have several lines of Gemara. We have little lettering. We have some Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. These represent different stages of what might go through a person's mind with regard to a firstborn animal. So a person, Erev Yom Tov, a firstborn animal is born, and does a person wait for a mum? Meimar, Omar, a person figures, Meimar denofel beimuma. Who says that a mum will develop in the first place? The imtim salam or denofel beimuma, and even if it does develop, miyema denofel beimum kavua. Who says that it will be a permanent type mum, that which would be that which gives license, that which allows one to slaughter it for personal use? The imtim salam or denofel beimum kavua, and even if a mum kavua would appear on Yom Tov, miyema demizdake lechocham. Who says that a sage who is needed to rule concerning the mum will appear to him on Yom Tov? So that in the best case scenario, as far as the owner of this firstborn animal is concerned, he has no hopes of it being available for his personal use. This is very different than from the case of the Nair, that one lighting it, Erev Yom Tov, anticipates it going out. Mosiv Romi Bar Chamo. Now this is a question. We have a triangle marking here. These are, the Gemara now introduces the realm of Nidorim, and we'll see questions that are pertinent to this particular section of give and take in the Gemara, and we've highlighted these questions with the triangle. Mosiv Rami Bar Chamo. We have a Tanaic source. It says, Mefirin Nidorim B'Shabbos Vinish Olin L'Nidorim Shein L'Tzorach HaShabbos. Mefirin has to do with the undoing, the disavowing of vows on the part of a husband for his wife. So a husband can Mefir Nidorim on Shabbos. And Nisholin is the approach to a sage regarding vows that are Shabbos related. In other words, if a person had sworn or vowed not to eat. Now, Shabbos comes around, one needs to eat on Shabbos. So the source says that a person can approach a chacham to have his vow rescinded on Shabbos. But in light of what we said just two lines above, why is that something that can be done? And of course, if the vow is rescinded, so then one then can use the food that he has. He can eat the food. Ve'amai, why would he be allowed to eat the food? Lema, why not say, mi yemar dimizdakik lo baal? Who says that the husband will deal with her? The Gemara, and being that that's a doubt, who says that one's husband will annul her vow. So, being that that's an element of doubt, why is it that she will be able to eat? The Gemara says, Hasam kidrav Pinchas Mishmei de Rava, in explaining why she would be allowed to eat, or why the whatever vow she had taken can be undone by the husband, and whatever was forbidden, she will be able to use. That's based on Rav Pinchas' teaching, Diomar Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rava, Kol HaNoideres Aldas Baila Hi Noideres. The initial vow was taken with the assumption or the presumption that her husband would approve it, so that in the event that that the husband doesn't approve it, so there was the vow doesn't get started. Rashi says al das baal al manasim yirtza baal v'somcha. It's taken on condition that the husband should approve it. V'somcha le demizdakek lo b'yom shamo, and she was relying on him that he will deal with it on the day that he hears about it. So this was all in her mind when she originally took the vow. So it's understandable why the husband can undo it. And if he's undoing it, if he hears about the vow on Shabbos, that's the only day he'll then have to undo it. So the original vow is based on the husband's reaction to it, so that there's no problem in her in what we said before, like the case of the Bechor, where a person doesn't know whether the Chacham will deal with it whatsoever. Toshma. Nishalim l'nedarim shel tzorach haShabbos b'Shabbos. Here the Gemara is focusing on the second, on the Bay's example in the source that we just had. And we saw in that source that a person can approach a Chacham to have a vow that's Shabbos related, to have it rescinded, and it's effective. V'amai, why is that effective? Lema, why not say, like we said before, by the Bechor, mi yemar demizdakik le Chacham, who says that a Chacham will come to deal with it? You can see we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to align this with the arrow above where that statement was made in explaining the prohibition of the Bechor, even according to Rebbe Shimon. Well, if that explanation is so then why will the Chacham be able to disavow, to annul a vow that's Shabbos related? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of the vows, Ilo mizdakik le chacham sagi le v'sholosh hedyotos. Even if a chacham isn't found to annul the vow, vow annulment can be done by three commoners as well, and three commoners are always available, so that the option of having the vow undone on Shabbos is always there. Chacham, in the case of the Bechor, you need a chacham. A commoner cannot undo or cannot rule concerning a blemish of a firstborn. Hacha mi yemar demizdakik le chacham, who says that he will find a chacham to deal with to issue a ruling concerning the blemish. And since it's all in doubt, so the owner of the firstborn totally disassociates disassociates from the animal from thinking that there will be any chance of his being able to use it on Yom Tov. Therefore, that's something that even Rabbi Shimon will agree is something that we would classify as muktzah. However, the Moisar Hashem and Shebaner, where a person doesn't disconnect his mindset from it, it is something that Rabbi Shimon will say, well, muktzah won't apply to it. So according to this analysis of Shitas Rabbi Shimon, it's all founded upon a person's mindset. According to Rabbi Shimon, muktzah will not kick in as a problem as long as a person has any thoughts of using it. In other words, the fact that something might have been inaccessible at the onset of Shabbos per se does not render it forbidden. The Gemara continues, Rami le Abai le Rav Yosef. Once again, we see Abai raising a question within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Here he poses the question to Rav Yosef. Mi Omar Rabbi Shimon, Kofsa Moisar, Kofsa Mutar Letautala. That if when it goes out, it's mutar to move the candle. And that halacha implies Kofsa in lo, Kofsa lo. And we've dashed underlined the focus of our question that the seeming restriction that Rabbi Shimon would assign to moving a lit candle. My taimo, what's the problem? What would the problem be in moving a lit candle? So, you can answer, Dilma, Bahadi Dinokit, Lo Kofsa. Maybe while moving it, it will go out. And we don't want to allow something like that. The Gemara asks, or you can even say Abaye asks in response, Ha Shaminon le Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Dover Shein Miskaven Mutter. But we know Rabbi Shimon to hold that an outcome that was unintentional, it might be an outcome of something prohibited, but if it was unintended, it's eino miskaven, so it is not a problem. It's something that's allowed, so that someone who, let's say, sees a burning oil lamp and he wants to move it, why shouldn't he be allowed to move it according to Rabbi Shimon? And if you'll say, well, it might go out, but it's eino miskaven. Tesanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, gorer olam kisei mitav safso bavashli iskaven lasos haritz. Rabbi Shimon has taught in this well-known Tanaic source that a person is allowed to drag a bed, or a bench on a dirt floor, as long as he doesn't have an intention of making a ditch. So the question at this point remains: why does Rav Shimon give us the impression that if it's a burning oil lamp, one is not allowed to move it? And if you'll say because of a fear of its going out, that's not something that preoccupies Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara answers that the fear of its going out does preoccupy Rabbi Shimon, and it all depends on what the nature of the outcome is. Kol hecha dechimechavein ika isura doraisa. Any example of where you have intention, where if you would have intention for that outcome, you would be confronted with an isur doraisa. So ki lo mechavein gozar Rabbi Shimon midrabbanan. When then, even if you don't have an intention, Rabbi Shimon will say you've got to restrict yourself anyway. Well, that would be an explanation for the nair, that if you would have intention to extinguish the nair, you would be involved with an isur doraisa. Therefore, we impose a rabbinic prohibition: don't move it. Kol hecha dekri mechavein iko isur derabanan. However, in a case that, let's say, in the case of the bed, where you would have intention to make a ditch by dragging a bed on a dirt floor, that would be an isur derabanan. Why is that? The method of making ditches is by using a plow or a utensil specifically developed for that. However, a charitz made by a bed, there's no isur doraisa, because you're doing it in an unusual fashion. Melechus Shabbos become an isur doraisa only if you do it in its normal way. However, if you're doing it in an unusual way, using a bed as opposed to a shovel or a plow or other farm or agricultural utensils, you are then only in a rabbinic realm. So that in the case of the dragging of the bed, even if you had an intention for making the ditch, it would only be an isur derabanan. Ki lo mechavein, where you're dragging the bed without the intention of making a ditch, you're just dragging it to transfer its location, shori Rabbi Shimon, the chatchila Rabbi Shimon will allow it as a first choice. You can go ahead and do it. Well, regarding this answer, the Gemara asks, Mosiv Rava. Rava asks, Mochrei Ksus, Mochrin Kedarkon. People who are clothing vendors can sell in their normal way. If a clothing vendor, in order to move the clothing from one place to another, he wears a couple of coats, let's say, he can do that. And here we're dealing with coats or Ksus that has shatnez in it. They can wear their coats. Ubavashlo yiskaving b'chamav ne'achamav. Provided that these clothing vendors don't intend to derive clothing benefit from these clothing. In other words, in the heat, they shouldn't have kavona that the clothing should shade them, or in the Gishamim in the rains or the cold season, they shouldn't have kavona, they shouldn't have intent for them to provide them with warmth. Vatsnuim mafshilin b'makil achorein. The tsnuim, the pious ones who were clothing vendors, they wouldn't get started at all with wearing this shatnez, the kilayim clothing. They would sling them over a stick supported on their shoulders. They would. They would throw the clothing over a stick on a makel over their backs, meaning on a stick supported on their shoulders. What do we see here? In this case of the clothing vendors, the chimechavin isura deraisa ika. If one would have intent to derive clothing benefit, in other words, warmth or shade from the clothing, they would be involved with an isur doraisa of lo silba shatnes, if one is not allowed to wear shatnes, mixed wool and linen fabrics made of mixed wool and linen. Ki lo mechavin shori Rabbi Shimon lechatchila. Without kavona, if you don't have kavona, you're a kavona as a clothing salesman, just to transfer the clothing from one spot to another or to demonstrate to people what it looks like, to model the clothing, but without any kavona, Rabbi Shimon says you can go ahead and do it. Rashi adds very importantly that this source, even though Rabbi Shimon's name doesn't appear, is Rabbi Shimon from the fact that intention is emphasized. So we see a challenge to the answer that was given above in our markings. You can see around six lines up from the bottom, there was an underlined kol hecha and a little aleph over that, where the Gemara had attempted to say that to explain Rabbi Shimon's prohibition of moving a lit oil lamp is because if you would have had kavana for it to go out, you would have been involved with an isur doraisa, and therefore we issue a restrictive ruling even where you don't have kavana, just don't move the oil lamp. Here you have an example of something where if you would have kavana, you would again be involved with an isur doraisa, and yet without the kavana, we allow, Rabbi Shimon will allow you. So the question would go back then, why by the oil lamp is Rabbi Shimon restrictive, as was inferred from what was said above, kofsa in, lo kofsa lo, that if it hasn't gone out, Rabbi Shimon will not allow you to move it. Well, why not? Elo Omar Rava. We continue now to the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Rava answers, Hanoch l'ner shemen u'psila. Leave aside the case of the lit oil lamp. That is different. Hoil v'nase bosis l'davar ha'aser. It has become a basis, like the English word sounds, a basis, or a base of something that is prohibited. The flame is obviously something that you're not allowed to benefit from on Shabbos, other than its light, of course. You can't use the flame. The flame is itself a dover ha'aser. Everything that is there to support the flame is considered botel to the flame. It's considered subsidiary to the flame, or the word is tofel, is a more accurate word. Rashi uses the word tofel to the flame. So the flame is something that Rabbi Shimon will tell you is usur to move, the flame per se. But it's very difficult to talk about moving a flame without a wick, without oil, without the oil lamp. All of these things, the ner, the lamp itself, the shemen, the oil, and the psilo, the wick, support the flame. So being that it supports something that is complete, that is totally forbidden, the whole unit becomes totally forbidden in movement. Of course, once the flame goes out, so then the dover ha'osir is no longer there. And as a result of that, what you are left with is something that is mutter. Now, we've emphasized many times in Gemara markings that what we say in the course of the shiurim should not be taken whatsoever as practical halacha, or what we call halacha lamaisa. And the last comment that we made regarding the flame in the context of the basis of dover ha'osir is something that when you look at halacha lamaisa, you will notice something quite different than that which we just said. So, but as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the concept of a bosses l'davar aser is binding as long as the flame is there. And that's why it's aser to move the lit candle. And not because of a fear that it might go out, because the idea of it going out would fall into the realm of a dover sheino miskaven. And as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, dover sheino miskaven, something that you had no intent for, is okay to be involved with. And that explains why the mochrei ksus, according to Rabbi Shimon, if they don't have kavona for benefiting from the clothing, they're allowed to wear it for non clothing benefit purposes, i.e. to move it around or to model it for customers. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.